Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
As Hubert Davis, head coach at the University of North Carolina for the men's program. And oh man, have they been getting raked over the coals. The team has been getting not made fun of, but criticized. They don't have enough quad one wins. Basically, what happened was North Carolina, they were 13-7 in the ACC. Okay. They were 23-13 overall. They played a lot of good teams, and they went out of their way to schedule a lot of good teams from other conferences. They went to Kansas. They took on Auburn. They took on Michigan State. They took on Alabama. They took on Florida. They went to, well, yeah, that was where I wanted to cut off. But they lost all those games. Now, they did host UCLA and beat UCLA, okay. But they essentially didn't get credit for how they did in their tough non-conference games. They got credit for scheduling those non-conference games in the first place, which is a counterintuitive thing when you look at how we've talked about the college basketball, football playoffs, rather, and teams will be like, well, why do we even want to schedule these hard teams if you're just going to penalize us if we lose them? A lot of times in college football, you've heard the argument, we got penalized for trying to play a good team, and North Carolina, they do play a bunch of good teams. They lose to most of them, including in their conference. I've just talked about the non-conference. They lose most of them, and then they get rewarded. So the only way that North Carolina can shut anybody up, and the only way for Hubert Davis to really get his team to lock in, is to not listen to anything and just go out on the court and play basketball. And tonight they did that, and they won big. So they're in the first four. They beat San Diego State 95-68. They'll be moving on to take on Ole Miss 95-68. So North Carolina, hey, the big target's on your back. You have to show that you're worthy of this. They did exactly that. There was one other game tonight in the first four. That was the first game of the tournament where Alabama State used a buzzer beater layup to beat St. Francis out of Pennsylvania. Two 16 teams battling it out, two 16 seeds again. And they're going to take on the winner. They're going to take on Auburn. So the treat for your first NCAA tournament win is now you have to take on Auburn coming up this Thursday. There's two games tomorrow, American and Mount St. Mary's. The winner gets the right to be throttled by Duke. And then two of the other at-large teams, Texas and Xavier, will be in action tomorrow night as well. So the NCAA tournament has started. March Madness has started. But there are other tournaments going on as well. The College Basketball Invitational starts this weekend. The College Basketball Crown, which is like basically run by Fox, and they gave auto bids to some teams, which a lot of teams, some teams turned it down, like Ohio State's not playing, Indiana's not playing. There's other teams that turned it down. I think South Carolina is not playing, LSU as well. 14 teams from the SEC got in the tournament. There was two other teams. The next two teams get auto bids into this College Basketball Crown, and they're like, nah, we don't maybe think that we should be in that. But there's a lot of other tournaments going on. There's a lot of other action at play, which is very interesting because there's a lot of, I think, issues and problems that could come up. And it's a lot of people fighting for, like, breadcrumbs. Like, what are we trying to do here? More notes on that College Basketball Crown. It's a Las Vegas-based 16-team tournament. And again, it's led by Fox and AEG that is going to bring in teams from the three power conferences that the network already airs. So they air Big Ten basketball, Big 12, and Big East. And they were able to work it out with the conferences that we're going to give you two guaranteed slots from each of those conferences. And then 10 additional schools that we will invite. And there were some problems with how that came up. So you've got the college basketball crown, you've got the NIT, and you've got the college basketball invitational. And there's a couple other tournaments, smaller even than that as well. So the NIT, this has been around since 1938. This is operated by the NCAA. This has always been operated by the NCAA. And if you didn't make it, it was still an honor of sorts to be in the NIT. The NIT last year had more than half of its 32-team field filled by power conference schools. This year, there's just four of those teams. The ACC sent Georgia Tech. They sent SMU. And they sent Stanford. And the Big 12 sent Oklahoma State, even though the Cowboys do have a losing record. I believe, though, that they are either beating or beat Wichita State. So they may advance. Yeah, they have advanced. They beat Wichita State. So their dreams of a 500 season, first and foremost, are still in play. And their dreams of winning the NIT still in play as well. Now, there are about 15 schools that had to decline NIT bids or that weren't able to accept them in the first place because of that college basketball crown. Last year, 17 teams passed on the 2024 event, and the college basketball crown did not exist yet. So this year, it's 15. So the NIT, a lot of these coaches, for whatever reason, and the players and the teams, they just say, forget it. If we didn't make the tournament, we are done. So South Carolina, just to clarify, they actually had an automatic bid with the NIT. So I said the crown before, but they were the NIT. They had an automatic bid at 12 and 20, and LSU had an automatic bid at 14 and 18. But the SEC put 14 teams in the tournament. Two teams left in the conference. Those two teams got auto bids to the NIT. They both said no. Now, another interesting thing is you've got the portal opening up. And I don't understand what's going on with this portal, any portal. It seems like right now in college football and basketball, the portal exists at the dumbest times. In college football, the portal opens for you to transfer as soon as the regular season is over. So a bunch of players skip out on bowl games, and then some teams can't go to bowls because they don't have enough players. They've already left the program. Then there's another window in the spring, like right after these spring games, which is why some schools are trying to cancel and have canceled. They're almost doing like all-star events because they don't really want other teams to be able to then scout their spring game. Nebraska lost six such guys last year where they had a spring game. It was televised. It was on tape. Other coaches looked at it and said, I want that guy. What can we offer him? And guys bolted out of Nebraska. Deion Sanders, for his credit, is trying to go the other way. And he's trying to say, hey, screw this spring game against ourselves. We want to play somebody. He tweeted that. Syracuse is like, we'll do it. But there's like an NCAA rule that you can't have exhibition games like that in the spring. So there's all these different moving pieces. But it just seems like there's so many times where, oh, this is going to be affected by the portal. Well, then why is the portal win-win it is? Like right now, why does the portal for men's college basketball open on March 24th? That can't have anything to do with admissions for schools, can it? We're in the middle of the semester. Make an exception if it's for your basketball team. You're already finding a way to get the alumni to give them $2.5 million to be the second guy off the bench. It's just they're at the dumbest times. It seems like it's a unforced error, self-error by their own making. So the college basketball crown is going to be very interesting because that is not supposed to start until March 31st. So what Fox was thinking when they made this is, hey, the NCAA tournament is going to take up that first weekend, okay? Games are starting now with the first four. They're running into the weekend of the 22nd, 23rd, and then they're going to run into the weekend of the 29th and 30th, and then we don't have the final four until the following weekend, so people have been dying for basketball, and there's a hole in the calendar. They got to wait a week, 6 days. They got to wait. So Fox is like, well, let's give them something else. So we're going to jam these games in Vegas. There are going to be some during the day, some at night. You'll be able to watch college basketball from some name brand programs because they're coming from the conferences we air. And it's going to be that week leading up to the tournament where we're actually going to have our final on the day in between the Final Four and the national championship. Now, we understand it's not going to be like the greatest achievement that's ever existed, but people get really hungry for basketball in March. And if we can provide some of that programming, get a cool buzzer beater or two, get a great story, you know, all of a sudden we'll have this thing and we'll be a part of the culture of March in basketball. Well, that's all well and good, but that week is a full week after the portal opens. So we don't know what these teams are going to look like. The tournament has already said you got to have at least seven guys or we can't let you play. Some teams, are they going to get decimated? Are they going to have to forfeit? We don't know. Maybe it's not a problem at all, but it leads itself to be one with the timing of this whole thing. There was also the other thing that we mentioned last night regarding South Alabama, where the NCAA invited them into the NIT, but then they rescinded that invitation after learning that UC Riverside was not going to the CBI. So it goes NIT CBI. I don't know where the crown ranks in all this because you might think, oh, there's more name brand teams. It might be more prestigious, but we don't know what that tournament is going to look like yet. But the NIT, I think, is more revered than the College Basketball Invitational. And UC Riverside got invited to both. And then they said, actually, we're going to do the NIT, which meant South Alabama couldn't be in it. And the NCAA tried to apologize on social media. Head coach there, Richie Riley, was not having it, called it a copy and paste apology, and it was really quite a disaster. So there's a lot more basketball than just the NCAA tournament. I don't know how sustainable all of this is. It seems like the goal of the college basketball crown is to eventually replace the NIT. The college basketball crown seems to have the opportunity to do that. The college basketball invitational, I'm not quite sure why that exists. There's only like eight or nine teams in it. It's a weird knockout format. It's really none of the big brand name teams. Manhattan, Queens, North Carolina, Presbyterian, Illinois State, Army, Jacksonville, Florida Gulf Coast, with all due respect. Okay? All the teams. It's a postseason tournament. Sure, you get that. Why not? But they're just like eating from each other's plates here. The NCAA's got the big feast, and then it's like the scraps that fall off the table, the feral animals are left to go try to eat. You know, your dogs are left to try to eat whatever meat falls off the table. I don't know how long it's sustainable. And I'm really interested to see what happens with the crown tournament, because that's not supposed to start until a week after that portal opens. And even still, the portal is open while these kids are playing in the tournament, the main tournament. Now, you'd think, oh, it's crazy. No one's actually going to leave their school. But we've seen in football a couple of backup situations, backup quarterbacks leave before they had a chance to be in the postseason. We've seen that because they had a better opportunity elsewhere. I just don't understand why that doesn't change. Why they would keep that in and be like, oh, geez. It's like if you're trying to get out of your driveway, but then put blocks under your tires And you're like, I can't get out. Well, then move the thing that you put there to impede your progress. What are you doing? Move it. You put it there. Just seems weird. We've got call or fold coming up. We'll get into that. We'll take a look at the NFL draft because it seems like what could have been a very intriguing situation is no longer, according to some reports. So we'll touch on that a little bit later as well. Again, if you'd like to join the program, the phone number here is different than the one you may have muscle memory. So get this ready. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Again, that's 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Yesterday, a lot of people that we know and love were able to hear that and call in. I do worry that as things progress, we're going to be like, hey, whatever happened to that guy or that guy or that girl? I think they're going to miss the number, and I think we might lose specifically Barry in Boston. Barry, that was the number. If you didn't hear it, well, congratulations. 888-710-4ISN. We'll come back. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Call or Fold.
It's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! Call or Fold here on the Bart Winkler Show every Tuesdays until we deem otherwise. Card is always subject to change. Wrestling fans and boxing fans know that pretty well. All right, Bart, let's start here. We touched on it a little earlier today, but we always get new listeners in and out. And who knows, if you missed any part of the show, you could always check out the Odyssey app. It's free to download. Use a rewind feature. You won't miss a second. And I podcast everything. So there is that as well. And much to my chagrin, because that means I don't leave when the show's over. In any case, Cam Hayward, on his Not Just Football podcast, said he is not going to be recruiting Aaron Rodgers to the team. This comes 1 year later after he was actively doing so for Russell Wilson. Now, same goes for new Steelers receiver DK Metcalf. Quote, this is a historic organization. They've done the recruiting before I even got here. So whoever wants to come here and try to win as many games as we can, they can join us. But if not, good luck on the other side. Bart, let me remind you and everybody else listening, the Steelers don't really have a quarterback on the roster other than Mason Rudolph. Justin Fields and Russell Wilson were their options last season. Wilson not necessarily ruled out yet, but they're still kind of kicking the tires on Aaron Rodgers to see who can fill the void for this year. So call or fold. Pittsburgh playing hardball with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to call that.
Cold.
I think this whole situation, which has not developed at all, we have still not heard from Aaron Rodgers. Who have we heard from? Seriously. Adam Schefter? Trying to break through the tea leaves. He's not getting any information. Diana Russini, I still can't tell if Rodgers is pro her or not.
He can't stand her.
Someone's trying to make Rodgers to the Vikings happen. And that somebody might be Aaron Rodgers. I think we may be in a situation where if Aaron can't play for the Vikings, he might retire. And I don't mean that he's going to retire. I said this 2 weeks ago. We're still on the trajectory where he doesn't do anything for weeks, for months. I think teams should start to plan that Aaron Rodgers will be available in August. So if that means I'm willing to, wait, see what happens. Be Pittsburgh, bring in a Mason Rudolph. He can at least get you through camp. And then who knows? Maybe you kick the tires on that again and whatever. I don't know how good this team is to begin with. I mean, I know they just got DK Metcalf, but this is the same Steelers team it's always been. I still think that signing Russell Wilson's their best play. For the Giants, just do what the Steelers are doing. Sign Jameis Winston. Have somebody that's in there, you know, and figure it out. And then Russell Wilson, you need to stop waiting on a team to wait for Aaron Rodgers. You just need to sign somewhere. And you might have to do it for cheap. I think the problem with Russ is he's going to get to a point where, yeah, he wants to come play, but also he is still thinks he's a starter, which last year he was a starter. And so he's going to want starter money. Daniel Jones signed for what? 1 year, $14 million? Is Russell Wilson going to sign for that somewhere? I don't think so. Because not only is it maybe insulting sometimes, but when you sign for less money, the team might feel less beholden to have to play you. So I think the Steelers should continue to play hardball. My prediction is still the Vikings stay with J.J. McCarthy. I think they're very intrigued with the possibility of Aaron Rodgers, but I think they play it out and realize it might do more harm than good. I think the Steelers can get along fine with Mason Rudolph, and if Rodgers really wants to play in August after a lot of these mini camps, fine, he'll come play. And unfortunately, Carlos, I think the Giants are... There's not enough women in this town for you.
What are you talking about? No. We'll get Jameis Winston. We'll be fine. Crab legs for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that. You know, we'll get great press conferences.
You know, you got your graduating class where there's 13 guys and 12 ladies, and they've all paired up together, and there's one guy standing, and he's got to move. Or wait till one of those other guys gets divorced.
There's always a chance. All right, let's go here. Congratulations to Johnny Broom of Auburn and Cooper Flagg of Duke for being named the unanimous first team picks for the Associated Press's Men's College Basketball All-American Teams. That was a mouthful, trust me. In Cooper Flagg's case, he was among the first five on the ballots of all 61 national media members who vote for the weekly AP Top 25 and is the 19th Duke player to be named first team. He's been living up to the hype despite being out recently with an injury. So call or fold, Bart, Cooper Flagg is a slam dunk number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft.
I will call.
Call.
The hesitation would be if for some reason he stays at Duke, which there's been enough discussion about that being a possibility. I don't think that he would do that. I think the big thing for me is you can go back to school and get another year of NIL money. But what are we looking at with NIL money? Like highest case scenario. Give me a number. How much can he make next year at Duke?
Oof, that's a good question. How much is he making off the New Balance deal? Because he's already signed to that, right?
I don't know. Let me just say like eight.
Sure.
Would he come back for eight? Because if he went to the NBA, what would he be making? Like 4.5? 5, 6, 7, maybe 6, 7, 8? But you got to start looking at it like, yeah, maybe I can get a little more this year with the NIL. But what I can also do is go to the NBA, start my rookie scale contract, finish it a year sooner, and then get an even bigger payday once it's done. So I think long term, there's so much more money to be had in the NBA that, yeah, it's an attractive situation. And I think like in the women's game right now, where there's a lot more money coming into college than the WNBA, that could be a more viable solution or viable option. But and then if he's drafted, he's going to go number one. So, yes, I'm calling that. I'm calling Cooper Flagg number one.
Keep in mind, he's still only 18 years old. He doesn't turn 19 in December of this year. That's nuts. All right, you spoke earlier about the international games that the NFL and MLB have had. Cubs and Dodgers kicked off the season in Japan yesterday morning, I guess. I don't know. Whatever time zone you're in. NFL opened up last season in Brazil. We'll add hockey to the mix because the NHL announced that the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins will play a pair of regular season games next season as part of the Global Series in Stockholm, Sweden. David Proper, who is the Senior Executive Vice President for Media and International Strategy, said the league's focus for the Global Series was to have fans from a particular country experience the NHL while seeing their fellow compatriots. Both the Predators and Penguins have Swedish natives, you know, or Sweden-born players on those teams. So kind of similar with the Cubs and Dodgers having Japanese players on the team going to Tokyo. So Bart Colorfold, American sports leagues are being greedy by taking games out of the United States.
Yeah, and this is kind of what we were talking about a little bit. I think that, because the American market's not enough. And this is the thing that I've learned about money. It's never enough. For example, I have a friend who might have went to a Bucks game on Sunday and then might have gone to the local casino afterwards and then might have hit a bonus and then might have walked away down on the night even after hitting a sizable bonus.
What's the name of your friend?
Bart Winkler.
There we go.
Because when is it enough? You never have enough. You always have a path and want more. The international stuff, there's so much that's cool about it. It gives the players a chance, breaks up the season. It gives fans a chance to go. It's a new spot. And for the, you know, for people in Sweden, they're like, wow, this is really cool. So there's a lot that's pro. I think what is bothering me or what gives me hesitation is that the English Premier League won't come play a regular season game here. And it seems like all of our leagues are sending, we're going all over the place, but the English Premier League isn't giving a regular season game here. And the other thing is, I don't want to see the big events start to, like, we can't have a Super Bowl in London, okay? We can't have a WrestleMania outside of the United States, all right? So that's an opening day with the Cubs and Dodgers. It's like, I just want to protect those kind of things. But if there's enough other games and there's dollars to be made, that is the American dream. So I'm not going to stop them.
Ah, capitalism, of course. Nothing wrong there. We're halfway done with the first four games of the NCAA tournament. Amar Knox's layup of 1 second left lifted Alabama State to its first NCAA tournament win as they defeat St. Francis 70-68. North Carolina was controversially selected as one of the last four in over the likes of West Virginia, but they take care of business. They defeated San Diego State 95-68. North Carolina will now take on Ole Miss on Friday. Bart Colorfold, the selection committee got bailed out by North Carolina winning big over San Diego State.
I'm going to fold that.
Fold.
And even if North Carolina goes on the run, if they beat Ole Miss, if they even beat Iowa State, a team that is unlike a team that they've been able to beat, it will always have the Bubba Cunningham was on the committee. There will always be that, should they have even been there? Should they, like, if you get in and then win, that's great. Did you do enough to even get in the first place? I think that will always be there. I don't think we'll quite asterisk it, but I do think it will always be there. Now, it certainly did help, but it also keeps the story alive a little bit. And I don't think that that's the worst thing for the NCAA. Now we've all got a team that collectively we've got a storyline over. You know, there's a lot of these teams that we don't know that much about. This isn't Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson anymore. Okay? Yeah, we know Duke. We know St. John's is like piercing through the zeitgeist with Rick Pitino and that turnaround. But this gives the NCAA another team that, oh, I got to make sure I know what time North Carolina's on to play because I'm intrigued in that story. So if anything, maybe Ah, geez. I already folded, right?
You want to flip it to a call?
No, I folded my cards. I got to play by the rules.
Okay.
But then what I'm going to do is I would have won on the river, and I'm going to let everybody know, oh, I would have won on the river.
Yeah, but you know what? When somebody wants to see my hand, I'm sorry, you got to pay to play. You know, I don't show anything for free, but good for you. All right, last one here. You can't spell March Madness without M, and the M is for money. The NCAA has agreed to permanently drop its rule prohibiting athletes from negotiating the terms of name, image, and likeness payments until after they enroll in school. The now-abolished rule was designed to try to keep schools and boosters from using NIA deals as a recruiting incentive for high school athletes and players in the transfer portal. But coaches and schools have been saying that this is pretty much the only deciding factor for an athlete's decision. Call or fold, the student-athlete era is dead, and college is now officially professional sports.
Yeah, call. I mean, as close as we can be.
Cold.
I think when NIL was first introduced, it was really cool. It was like, oh, this third-string tight end from Kansas caught a touchdown in a big game, and because of that, he's able to profit and get a sponsorship deal with Buffalo Wild Wings, which had happened. It was, oh, these guys are able to take the notoriety they have and maybe the influence, and on their Instagram, they can be playing basketball in a t-shirt that has the brand of a soft drink or a water or something like that. Or, hey, we are actually profiting off their name, image, and likeness. So if we're going to put them in a video game or sell their jerseys, rather than just put their number and then the name of the school on the nameplate, we can actually put their name. They're going to be able to make money based on us making money off them. It escalated very quickly into not that. It escalated very quickly into there's teams with athletic or GMs now, GMs, and there's like we're going to get to a point where there's a salary cap, except we're not, because you open the floodgates so quickly with no thought of what could happen that there's so much you're not going to be able to jam back into the bottle. A lot of the toothpaste is out of the tube here. It's going to be very tough. So, yeah, whatever we thought of college sports, it's still interesting. We're still watching it. But the era that we're in is not the era that we were in even 3 years ago. So, absolutely call that.
Well, welcome to the Wild Wild West, and that is Caller Fold.
Time to cash out.
He beat me straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
So I walk away with some winnings, I think. Or did I lose all those hands?
Based on your track record, you actually owe us money.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right. Gentle reminder, we do have a new phone number to the program and to all Infinity Sports Network shows, and I will give it to you once again. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Please come up with your own jingle, sing it to yourself in the shower, and commit that to memory. As for right now, let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti. Not a fan of the chili in Cincinnati. I'm Bart Winkler. Again, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN is the new phone number. 888-710-4476. Ja'Marr Chase, he is locked in. The highest paid non-quarterback now. Also extending is T. Higgins. There's been some franchise tags and some speculations if the Bengals were actually going to do this and pay this guy a longer-term contract, and they did. T. Higgins was asked about it, and, I mean, he got paid a lot of money. He doesn't have to move. Those sound like things that would make this a dream come true to me.
Man, I grew up a Bengals fan, and to have the opportunity to sign a four-year deal with my favorite team that I grew up watching is, I mean, that's a dream come true, you know what I mean? And then, you know, once, I guess, the announcement was out, my favorite player I grew up watching congratulating me on that is even more crazy. So I couldn't be at a better place.
Was that common knowledge to anybody that he grew up a Bengals fan? Maybe Bengals fans knew that. I had not known that, so that's kind of neat. And I think that does play a factor in what is going to be potentially special about these guys, is that they want to be there. They're committed to doing this, and they want to do it in Cincinnati. Yes, they got money to stay, but these are caliber players that would have gotten money anywhere, this kind of money. I don't think the Bengals overpaid any of these guys. The question that you might have is this the best use of a team's money to have a highly paid quarterback and not one highly paid receiver, but two highly paid receivers? The Eagles are like, hey, that's what we have, and we won a Super Bowl. Did they win it because of that? Well, it didn't hurt. All right, it absolutely did not hurt. I think a lot of us look at Saquon Barkley as the missing piece and some of the other moves they made defensively. The Eagles have gotten credit for moves outside of Jalen Hurts and extending him and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but maybe we're not giving enough credit to those guys being in place as well. You've got a quarterback who is a top four quarterback in this league based on where you're ranking the top four. You've got weapons. Jamar Chase is a top two wide receiver in this league. Are we saying it's him and Jefferson? There could be other guys you throw into the mix, but Chase is no lower than three. And T. Higgins is like top 10 also. These guys are very good. And so that is one of their methods to win football games. Are they going to get torched defensively? They hope not. I'm looking as last year as an outlier, because what could go wrong did go wrong for Cincinnati. I'm going to say they've got a good offense. They do have good running backs, too. Chase Brown came on. Zach Moss was good before he got hurt. Mike Gesicki wants to re-sign there. They've got a tight end. They need the offensive line to get better. They're going to utilize the draft as much as they can for the defense. They got to get Trey Hendrickson back. But I like them as a dark horse, because we're forgetting about them. They were just in a Super Bowl a couple years ago. We forgot about them. I don't think you forget about Joe Burrow. Again, new phone number, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Holland is in Rochester, New York. What's up?
Sweet, fancy Moses. Do you guys have an encyclopedia in front of you, or do you like just know all these names off the top of your head? I've been listening to you guys for the last few minutes, and I the names you're rattling off, I just don't know if I would be able to remember them.
Well, it's like it's my job, so I have to. It's like if I was a doctor but didn't know how to use a scalpel, you know, I got to kind of know some
stuff. That might be a problem.
Yeah. That Bengals QB, what's he again? I got to at least know some names, not all. I don't have to know everything, but I got to know enough.
People talking about the Bengals, all I think about is that tiger in your tank thing. No offense to them. But, you know, I come from the days from when Redskins and the Bills went head on head and the Bills lost four in a row. And now I'm in Rochester and they still have a bruise about it.
Oh, yeah.
They still talk about Flutie. Remember that guy? What happened to him?
Well, he had a highly successful serial, and then I'm not sure what he's up to right now. I think I've seen him in some commercials.
Oh, really? All right. Well, I was talking to another host about Dan Marino, and apparently, I just discovered living up here, Jim Kelly is in the Hall of Fame. Is that true?
Jim Kelly's a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Yeah, but they were upset about Dan Marino not being in the Hall of Fame. And I still have a grudge against Dan Marino, so I was wondering what you boys thought about it.
They were upset that Dan Marino is not in the Hall of Fame?
Is he not?
No, he is. They were upset he is in?
Since when? Yeah, they were saying he wasn't. I don't really keep tabs on things ever since that, that kick.
2005.
Sweet fancy Moses. I apologize. They misled me. I've been bamboozled.
Well, that's all right, Holland. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate that I can offer assistance and help. I would like to know who these people were that didn't think he was in the Hall of Fame. Now, they might have been mad that he wasn't in the College Football Hall of Fame, but he got in that in 2002. They might have been mad he's not in the Pitt Athletics Hall of Fame, but he got in that in 2018. Maybe the character Dan Marino played in Ace Ventura, Dan Marino, maybe in that timeline, he never got in the Hall of Fame. Although they won that one, right? We're back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.